Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Well, hey there, everybody. It is Andrew Langer in for Tony Katz today on Tony Katz Today, and about to be joined by Tony Katz. You guessed it, today. Real quick before Tony comes on, there is news. Apparently, the Veterans Administration is vociferously denying that they are removing this photograph. Tony, have you heard about this, that there's a rumor going around that an undersecretary at the VA is trying to remove the iconic Kiss in Times Square on VJ Day picture from all VA facilities?
I wasn't aware of it, but nothing surprises anymore.
Right.
If you can't be offended, you're clearly a bad person, because only the good person understands enough that everything should offend them.
Right.
Everything that intersectionality ever taught is a be offended, always be offended, and look to be offended. And I think, if I understand the story, just doing a quick search as I was talking to you, I believe the undersecretary wants to remove the photo because he's never kissed a woman and he's very upset.
That's exactly right. Listen, I got this from a high school friend of mine on Twitter, because, of course, Twitter is the only thing that's open today. A friend of mine from high school writes, Langer, no one is saying this did not happen. Instead, they are acknowledging that to anyone who knows the history, all caps, history of this moment, it can be traumatizing. Only yes means yes. This physical act was non-consensual.
I think this picture should immediately be paired with Baby It's Cold Outside, and it should be a number one video.
Well, apparently there is another picture in which the woman who was kissed socks the guy across the jaw with her purse. I'm like, fine, then post that picture too. Post the two of them together. I'm fine with that. But good Lord. Tony, this is the thing. These are the things that you are escaping by while working on a farm in Israel.
Let me share this with you.
Please.
As right now, the red alerts are coming in for a series of areas. I am still to the north. These are bombing attacks that have taken place more to the east. Of it. These alerts came in last night. Yesterday, I was at a kibbutz called Kibbutz Matzuva. Matzuva, that's it. My pronunciations I'm still working on. 12 hours later, that kibbutz was bombed.
Wow.
In the late night hours yesterday, Iron Dome did go off near where I am. I did not see it. I was inside. People did see the rockets fire. Power went out in a series of areas all over northern Israel. These people are ready, they are prepared, and they know it's coming. You think I'm worried about some holy damn picture?
Yeah,
the
sure,
undersecretary is a fool. And I don't care if the undersecretary is a man or a woman, I don't know. But a damn fool if you're worried about some photo. That's the problem with progressivism. They are on the wrong subject. You think that the people in Israel are worried about intersectionality? You think they're worried about their pronouns? What they're worried about is when Hezbollah is going to attack.
Right.
Because everyone believes Hezbollah, which is to the north, right? They're in Lebanon. And then you've got Hamas, which is in Gaza there in the south, the southern, western, southwest, right?
Yes.
In my head, it'd be southwest. Southwest corner of Israel. Forgive me, being here, got a little turned around. Both supported by Iran, which is nothing more than a terrorist funder masquerading as a country. That's all they are. These people are not worried about it. And our issue for all of us is that we're focused on the important stuff. And here we are getting bombarded with nonsense and bullcrap day in and day out,
right,
trying to keep us from being engaged in the important stuff. I don't think any of us should fall for that.
Now, yesterday, Tony, you were talking about the deep and abiding concern that many people you've met have with Netanyahu's government missing the signs of this attacks. We have this story now out of Washington that the Vice President, Kamala Harris, met with Benny Gantz, a prime rival of Netanyahu. Your thoughts here?
So Benny Gantz also was the chief of staff for Netanyahu for a few years. As I know the story, Benny Gantz decided to come. Netanyahu didn't want him to. Gantz came on his own accord. Netanyahu directed the embassy not to facilitate a meeting. Gantz facilitated the meeting on his own. That meeting is why you heard Kamala Harris declare a demand for a ceasefire. She was posturing to her base so she could get away with having a meeting with this bloodthirsty villain, who is not, by the way, a bloodthirsty villain. He is a fine person who understands that his country is facing extinction. Guys, I am right behind me right now. These double doors are about 70 people. And we are at a place that you may have never heard of called the Ghetto Fighters House. This is a museum dedicated to the Warsaw Uprising, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising.
Yes.
This is the first museum dedicated to the Holocaust in history that's created by Holocaust survivors.
Wow.
They left. They came to Israel in 1948 when it just became Israel. They built this out of nothing, and this kibbutz around it, and this world around it. And these people who we've been having dinner with, every single one of them understands that the call for ceasefire from the Biden administration is pure barbarism. From beginning to end, it is a call to say, hey, Israelis suffer, and Israelis don't have to suffer. We understand that we're better off with Israel than not with Israel. What we may not know, as I was on a, I was at a farm today, I was actually helping to prune tomatoes. That's what I was doing today.
Good for you.
And the guy who runs the farm is a Hasidic Jew who's married to a Yemeni woman. And after we were done, they made us lunch. The amount of people from Yemen who live in Israel joyfully, the amount of people from Ethiopia who live in Israel joyfully. If you think that Israel, based on, you know, talk about the progressivism, is some white nation and therefore an oppressor nation, and these other people, the quote unquote Palestinians, are oppressed, you don't know anything about history. You've never opened your eyes, looked at a picture, or read a holy damn book. It is an obscenity. And you think I'm bothered by it. Talk to the people in this room.
Sure.
They're infuriated by the fact that college students and university professors and university leadership, and they're all listening to this show, they know exactly who they are in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
That you have never said to your students, you don't know anything. You're actually too dumb to go to this school, but we just wanted your daddy's money.
Right. No, That's exactly it. It really is this massive disservice that's being done to the students themselves and then to the world at large. I mean, we've been spending a lot of time, Tony, today talking about Orwellianism, I guess is the best way to put it, sort of the reshaping of narratives over time. This has been over the last 60 years by design to pull at the threads of who we are as a nation in terms of our history and where we agree, but then also to re-indoctrinate our kids to believe something that is completely out of step with the reality of the world, isn't it?
You know, just some light conversation for a Tuesday.
Well, yeah.
Let me hit the last part, right? This idea of manipulation. The manipulation comes when the Biden administration screams ceasefire. People look at ceasefire and say, finally, the babies will be safe. Why did anybody think the babies were safe before?
Right.
Are the women going to be safe? The women are not safe in Gaza. They're not safe in an area run by terrorists. The women are not safe in Iran, run by the hardliners, the clerics, and the mullahs. When you call for a ceasefire, have you ever asked yourself, what happens next?
Yeah.
And the answer, of course, is no, they've never thought. So you understand that there are some people, whether it be the university level or higher, where they get their marching orders or they learn their tactics, they read their Howard Zinn or whatever it is that they read, that what you see from younger generations, and what you see, by the way, from older generations, people who buy into this manipulation, is that they don't actually think. There right. is no questioning what does it mean, ceasefire. All they know is it's something to say and it means you're a good person.
Right.
They never think, because thinking is the violation. And to violate this feeling good that other people tell you you're a good person because you said this thing is more than they can do. We're the thinkers. And because we think, we sometimes come to different ideas, different thoughts, different ways of handling things. And that can lead to arguments. And that's why they're always in lockstep and we're always having a discussion, because we are indeed thinkers. Anybody who's calling, as you know, I'll go back to this. Anybody calling for a ceasefire is calling for the destruction of Israel, and to hell with them. But the manipulation conversation is how we have allowed academia, and it is our fault, and we can fix this. We've allowed them to push forward the idea that thinking is bad,
right,
and regurgitating is good, and that this should be rewarded. And the best regurgitators, who are also the right skin color and the right sexual orientation, will get rewarded the most.
No, that's exactly it. I mean, it is a time when we've never had greater access to the sum of the world's information at our fingertips, and we've never been more idiotic collectively as a global society. It really
right.
is, as Dickens
right.
put
we've,
it.
We've got the.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say,
you go ahead.
It really is, as Dickens put it, it was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness.
I was going to say it differently. We've got the world's knowledge at our fingertips, but if we could see some guy get hit in the nuts, we're cool with that.
Well, right, of course. Listen, it's the old adage the most famous video from America's Funniest Home Videos was of the monkey sticking its finger up its posterior and smelling his fingers and then falling off the branch. I mean, it's, you know, that's the height of culture. You're staying safe, I hope, my friend, as safe as one can be.
You know, we're trying. Yesterday was the first time, the very first time that I said to myself, okay, this is happening. I mean, I was smoking a cigar right next to the Mediterranean, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. War zone. And these people live it every day.
Yes.
But I am staying as safe as I can. I've got one more day here, so I'll have a report tomorrow. No report on Thursday as I fly back.
All right. Well, listen, please, my friend, stay safe. If you can meet up with my buddy Bob while you're over there, it might be worthwhile. I think the timing may not work, which is too bad. I'm an idiot. I should have arranged this last week, folks. I got a good friend over there who's married to a very near, very senior State Department official over there. Anyway, Tony Katz.
Send your anger, guys, to Andrew_Langer on X.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, while you can, because it's still up and running. Tony, take care, my friend.
Take care, man.
When we return, Trump reacts to the Supreme Court's decision, as does the Colorado Secretary of State. This is Tony Katz Today. I love those little things. I'm sorry, the little foray into history, but it does help to sort of put things into context, how big things can hinge on other things, right? As I said, the quote from Lawrence of Arabia, by the way, was, "I cannot fiddle, but I can make a great state from a little city." Which is just, it's a great line. I love them. Listen, we haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia, the David Lean film with Peter O'Toole and Claude Rains. Go and check it out this weekend if you get a chance. So, back to the reactions yesterday to this Supreme Court decision. What I love, I want to actually I want to do a little contrast here. So the Free Beacon, the Washington Free Beacon, was very helpful, and they put together a compilation. We may not play all this. We'll play the first few bits of this. A compilation of the reactions to Colorado's decision back in December on removing Trump from the ballot. Here is a play. Let's play cut number 5.
consequences of insurrection.
Donald Trump is ineligible to serve as president under the Constitution's insurrection clause.
Because he is disqualified, it would be a wrongful act under the election code for the Colorado Secretary of State to list him as a candidate on the presidential primary ballot.
Colorado is executing its state's rights to decide who should be on their own ballot.
Oh, I'm very proud to be a Coloradan and an American today.
This was a real process. It was consideration of a great deal of evidence.
It's grounded in the Constitution.
That language in the Constitution, Jim, simply could not be any clearer.
This is a slam dunk.
The former president is not eligible to be president again.
Trump incited and therefore engaged in an armed insurrection against the Constitution.
Trump is indeed ineligible to be president.
Donald Trump engaged in an insurrection against the Constitution.
The former president should not be allowed to run again.
Okay.
The former president, you get it.
So you get it. They're all of them. They're all eager to make their, to plant their flag in the sand. Donald Trump's not eligible. Colorado. Here is a CNN panel reacting to it. I'm sorry. Did I say CNN? MSNBC. Let's play cut six.
So, Eddie, we don't know what else Jack Smith has developed, but we know from this probe, from Tim's work, that they established that the attack was premeditated, never planned to leave, started declaring he was impossible to lose on election night. We know from the evidence that was developed from his closest advisors in the West Wing that the violence was something he was enthusiastic about because he, quote, knew they're not here to hurt me, end quote. We know that risking Mike Pence's life was part of the plan all along. Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't some collateral damage. He was the target of the violence. Trump was fine with it. And we know that the people who carried out the acts are people that Trump plans to pardon so that they're at the ready should he need them again. What part of this is there any suspense about in this country?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. And what I've been trying to understand and figure out with your help, so what's the motivation behind it all? What are the fears that block it?
I love this, the armchair psychology that's involved here. Because that guy sounds, I don't know who that is. He just sounds close to tears. What fears motivate them to do? Okay, you're the one who's afraid. You have people who are deeply, deeply concerned. And you just don't get it. Now, I've always said, a lot of this hinges upon whether or not people genuinely believed that the election had been rigged and had been stolen, right? Intent, you know, gets to a lot of this stuff. And the reality is that there was never any insurrection because there was never any danger, right? Once the election got certified, and the election was going to get certified, regardless of what anybody might have thought, Donald Trump was going to be out of office. Donald Trump was not staying in office. But the reality is that the reason why people are still flocking to Donald Trump, it's a monster of your own making, left-wing media. If you wanted Donald Trump to go away, stop talking about Donald Trump. It's just that simple. Don't prosecute him. I mean, obviously, if you think you have to prosecute, you prosecute him. But the point is, he's like Beetlejuice. You invoke his name three times and he's going to appear. You don't want him to appear. Don't invoke his name. Don't engage in the Donald Trump incantation, because that's how you get him. And his supporters, you get them all riled up. If you build this persecution complex around not just him, but all of his supporters. And in fact, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by a reporter who's been caught up in this. Right. We've talked about this issue. Steve Baker, the reporter for The Blaze, who more than 3 years after the January 6th riots was arrested last week. We're going to be joined by him when we return. When you engage in this and you demonize a whole group of people, when you threaten them with prosecution and persecution as well, that has a way of galvanizing them. When you go out and you tear at the very fabric of reality, that gets people upset. This is Tony Katz today.